Hi DMC, I hope everyone is well and healthy. Let's read the Bible together first. So if you have a Bible, can you just lift up your Bible, whether it's a hard copy Bible or soft copy Bible, let's lift it up and you know what to do. We're going to recite together, "This is my Bible." Are you ready? Let's all stand in honor of God's Word and let's declare it to the principalities that this is the Word of God and this is the Word of authority. Are you ready? This is my Bible. 1, 2, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. We're going to read from four passages of scripture, from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, and then from John, and then from the book of Acts. Ready? Let's declare it aloud together. You can follow it on the screen. Ready? 1, 2, go. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. And that is why I said, the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. On one occasion while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Acts 1, 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Let us pray. Lord, we thank You again for the ministry of Your Word. We pray that, Lord, today as we listen to Your Word, as we hear, God, what You have to say into each of our hearts, may You open up our hearts, God, to know and understand You, God, in a deeper way than ever before. So that, Lord, it would teach us, God, to love You more and to serve You more. And all God's children say, amen, amen. Please take a seat. And I pray that, like I said earlier on, that we all are healthy. We are now more than 9 weeks into MCO and CMCO. And we have certainly got into a rhythm that, you know, some of us like and others dislike. But I certainly miss the physical face-to-face interactions of conversations and coffee and celebrating big days. You know, my heart goes out to those who have to postpone their weddings or celebrating their important milestones in life. You know, it is also difficult for some whose loved ones pass away. And the final rites have to be done in a small way without the usual opportunity for many of us to pay our last respect. We are particularly saddened by the homegoing of our brother Ravi Zacharias, whom we have the privilege of having him speak in our church a couple of times. Actually, he was an amazing man who has a deep love for God and an incredible mind and memory. What was most amazing was not just about his achievements, but what was spoken about him as a man with deep faith and understanding of God, and as a friend to many, and most of all, as a husband and father to his family. I'm also saddened last Wednesday by the homegoing of my pastor from Melbourne, Pastor Milton Lund. I shared with you last year about his influence in my life when I was a student in Melbourne, and we remained friends since. When we first heard of him suffering from pancreatic cancer, my wife and I took the decision to visit him in Melbourne end of last year, and we were so glad we get to spend some time with him, because we knew we may never have the opportunity pretty soon. And although we have seen him on and off over the years, this time we just sense that time is short for him. And we wanted to honor him by our presence. And last Tuesday, we witnessed his funeral, you know, via YouTube. And you can see a photo on the screen of that. And all I can say to my good friend and pastor is, see you soon, my friend, on the new earth. And I am reminded once again that it is not about what we have done in life, but who we have touched, influenced, impacted, and made a difference. You see, in all eulogies I have heard at wakes and funerals, I have never heard of anyone mentioning what titles the deceased held, the list of achievements, how many cars or houses or companies one owned, or how much money one had in the bank. It's always about how the person had touched him or her. May we too be reminded to number our days rightly, to love God and serve people. We are coming to the sixth sermon of the Apostles' Creed. It is a creed that sort of helps us put in place, you know, what we truly believe in, a summary of our statements, in some sense, a statement of faith, what we believe. So why don't we read it together? You know, let's follow it on the screen, read it together aloud. Are you ready? Okay, ready, one, two, go. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You know, in the Methodist calendar, this Sunday, 24th of May, is celebrated as Aldersgate Sunday. I'm not sure whether you have heard of this term, but it's an important date of the Methodist Church. Now, something happened on that day in the year 1738 to John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. Now, at the age of 35, now having been a Christian and a pastor for many years, he had an unusual experience he had never encountered before. And this is what he said. He felt his heart strangely warmed. But at that time, he felt assured of his salvation in Christ. And that experience transformed him and led him ultimately to the founding of the Methodist movement in Britain and later America. And we know the rest is history. Today, there are about 40 to 50 million Methodists around the globe, with about 150,000 in Malaysia alone. The Aldersgate experience was a spark that ignited his life, that became a significant mark in church history. It is my opinion that John Wesley had at that point, though he was a Christian for many years, encountered the amazing presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. And we too can experience the same. It lifted John Wesley from where he was into a life of fruitfulness. And I pray that's the desire we all have. You know, I had a similar Aldersgate experience when I was 33 years old, having been a Christian for about 16 years now. And hence, the importance of having our theology and experience correctly in who the Holy Spirit is and His role in our lives. Also, let me ask you this question. Have you had your Aldersgate experience? If not, are you ready and be open to it? The Apostles' Creed addressed this important subject of the third member of the Trinity. I believe in the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful statement. Let me give you an overview of the Holy Spirit in biblical history. God's Spirit was present in creation. God the Father spoke, the Word was Jesus, and the Spirit created. In the Old Testament, the Spirit's presence was commonly manifested by wind, cloud, storm, smoke, and fire. He would rest on specific people for certain tasks they are assigned to, empowering leaders like Moses, Joshua, the prophets, the judges, and the kings. In the Exodus story, the Spirit was bestowed on Moses. And it also came upon Israel's elders. And the people informed Moses, thinking that he would be actually jealous. Instead, he said this quite the opposite. In Numbers 11:29 says, but Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. And here was a prophetic call where Moses hoped for the day when all of God's people will receive God's Spirit and prophesy in His power. And then 600 years later, Prophet Joel prophesies the same in chapter 2, verses 38, where it says, "And afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." One of the signs of restoration and blessing was that God would bestow His Spirit in a whole new way. It will be given to all, not just royal leaders, priests, or prophets, or any special person, but to everyone. And fast forward now to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And this is what Jesus told His disciples after His resurrection while He was still on earth before He ascended to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He continued, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then it happened. The Holy Spirit fell upon them and filled them. Something like the tongues of fire rested on them, and they began to speak in foreign languages, which they had no way of knowing. And people around them were amazed, as Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, as the Spirit enabled them. It was the Spirit that allowed them to speak in a language that they do not know, but others understood. It reminded us of the Tower of Babel, when men had so much pride that God dispersed them and confused them with all kinds of languages. But amazingly now, the work of the Spirit is to pull people together and unite them in Christ. In fact, this coming Sunday on the 31st of May is a commemoration and celebration of Pentecost Sunday, which is the receiving of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts chapter 2. It was the followers of Jesus who were the recipients of God's long-promised gift of the Spirit. Not the religious leaders or people in high places. In fact, the disciples were an unimpressive lot, whom the Jewish leaders even said in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, they were unschooled, ordinary men, meaning like you and me. That gives all of us a lot of hope. And then these disciples here, common, unschooled, ordinary men, they went on to shake and change the entire world. Just a small group of people in the power or in the weak Greek equivalent, dunamis, of the Holy Spirit. And thereafter, the Holy Spirit keeps filling the apostles and the believers. The Bible says whether Jews or Gentiles, Greek or Roman, slave or free, male or female, everyone without distinction was filled with the Holy Spirit when they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we notice, in the grand plan of salvation, the Father, God the Father, orchestrated the plan. God the Son redeems, and God the Spirit calls people to faith and repentance in Jesus, and then seals them in redemption. The passage we read early on in Ephesians, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." So today, God the Father is in heaven, and Jesus sits at God's right hand, and the Holy Spirit is here, working in the hearts of people. He's a missional Spirit who empowers believers to missional living, saving, justifying, regenerating us with a new life sanctifying us to be more Christ-like each day. Unite us with Christ and other believers to become the body of Christ called the church. And then he equips and empowers us to be spiritual people living supernaturally in an earthly existence with the hope for our future glory until Jesus comes again. And that's the hope of all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? But unfortunately today, the Holy Spirit has become a topic of theological conflict or debate, rather than as a source for spiritual renewal and unity. You see, the debate over the last 100 years had really grieved the Holy Spirit. You know, he has become what I call a spooky mystical force, like a genie, like an ATM machine, call out on demand to fulfill our wants. And unfortunately, there are excesses that make people very uncomfortable. So much so that over time, you know, the Holy Spirit became neglected and absent in the minds and hearts of many, many Christians. And Christians have retreated from making the Holy Spirit a focus of theology, of worship, and spirituality. And we have unfortunately, in some sense, adopted something what I call a trinity of Father, of the Son, and the Holy Bible. And the Spirit is starkly missing. And people like that, you know, have a form of spirituality and religiosity, but lack the power in their walk with God. And that is such a reminder to us. So here's the big idea. The big idea is this: the Holy Spirit is God's presence in us, actively and powerfully working in our lives today. Let me repeat that. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in us, actively and powerfully working in our lives today. And I want to emphasize that word, today. I can say many things about the Holy Spirit, but I will sum it up this way. The Holy Spirit is a person, the Holy Spirit is divine, and the Holy Spirit is actively at work today. And this form are my 3 points for today. The first point, the Holy Spirit is a person. You see, he's not an impersonal force or power or even an it. He possesses the three attributes of personality, and they are the mind, the emotion, and the will. Let me explain where the scriptures indicate so. For example, in the mind, there are many passages, but let me just pick a few. In the mind, in Romans chapter 8, verse 27 says, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, and he has a mind. And number two, in the emotion, there are two verses here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and it's an important verse. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And then in Luke chapter 10, verse 31, "At that time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit." So you can actually grieve the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, you know, the Holy Spirit brings joy to the people of God. And joy, by the way, is one of the hallmarks of the Holy Spirit, a fruit, right? Now, wouldn't we want that? Wouldn't we want that joy of the Holy Spirit and many other very positive feelings that can be such an amazing encouragement to us? So the point is, the Holy Spirit has a capacity to feel. So the mind, the emotion, and the third one is in the will. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says this, "And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." Just as he determines. So that's why we say here the Holy Spirit has a will to decide. So the first point is the Holy Spirit is a person with a mind, emotion, and will. And the second thing is this, the Holy Spirit is divine. So he's not just any person, but is a fully divine person. You see, this is the problem. If we don't see the Holy Spirit as a divine person, then we robbed him of the worship, the faith, love, and surrender that are due to him. See, we had mentioned earlier that he's holy and that he can be grieved, That means grief, it may become sad, really sad, when we sin or flirt with unholy things. We need to treat the Holy Spirit with reverence and awe as a person. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name," now note this, "in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Trinity. What we call theologians call co-equal in power, substance, and glory. But yet, the Holy Spirit voluntarily subordinates himself to God the Father and Jesus the Son. So here's, you know, a picture of that, of how that's connected together. Now, although the Apostles' Creed explains it in one line, "I believe in the Holy Spirit," and 100 years later, in the Nicene Creed, the church leaders decided that they want to explain it a little bit further. And this is what they came up with. "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets." I thought that was beautifully written. We need to hold, in that sense, for the Trinity, everything in symmetry, meaning holding everything in balance in our understanding of who God is, not overemphasizing or underemphasizing what is revealed in Scripture. And interestingly, you know, for some of us, we have some real difficulty. Remember that song that goes, "Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you." So we have no problem with the Father. He's our fatherly figure. Then we come to Jesus. "Jesus, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you." Then when we come to the third stanza, some of us have difficulty with that. How do we even sing? "Spirit, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you." You see, we need to have the same kind of adoration with the Spirit of God. But for some of us, because of our background of theological persuasion even, we feel uneasy with the third verse. But Holy Spirit is God. And we must guard against a lopsided teaching of over or under emphasis of each member of the Trinity. It's important that we know that the Father didn't die for us in that sense. Jesus did. We don't call Jesus Father. Neither does the Father dwells in us, but the Holy Spirit. And tell you what, this is the amazing news. This is God living in us, the Holy Spirit of God. What an amazing thought and revelation. Remember that song by Michael W. Smith, "Breathe." "This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me." So who is this Spirit or presence living in me? It's the Holy Spirit. We must know this great privilege we have as God's people, that the moment we invited, you know, God into our lives, through what Jesus did on the cross, we open up our hearts to this God. And those of you who are not Christians here today, maybe are invited here to come, you know, to join us on this online celebration. I pray that at the end of this celebration, when I open up a time for you, you know, to invite this God into your life, I want you to know this amazing fact. And the fact is this, that the Holy Spirit of God will come into your life and change the world inside you. So what implication is there for us, for the Spirit of God living in us? I read a report this week in the Star newspaper where our Health Director General, you know, reported that a total of 8,380 calls were recorded on the COVID-19 hotline so far. Now, interestingly, he break down the statistics for us. Only out of that 8,380 calls, only 20% are linked to COVID-19 itself, meaning that these people who called in, they were worried about the disease. But note this, 46.8% were linked to emotional problems, such as stress, anxieties, and even anger, caused by financial problems, lack of income maybe, or relational tensions at home. So this is an interesting question. So how does the Holy Spirit living in me help me in this crisis? And for those undergoing emotional and mental health challenges, how does this Spirit of God help us, the one who is living in us? So here, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is divine. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit is actively at work today. And John chapter 16, verse 7 says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The Advocate is the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit has come, we have access now into the presence of God, because He is God and He lives in the body of Christ called the church, and He lives in you. And so when you say, "Jesus is in my heart," you actually mean this: the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is in my heart, because Christ or Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is in us. So the Holy Spirit is active today in three things. He's active, first of all, in divine creation. He gives us life. Job chapter 33, verse 4 says, "The Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life." It is the Spirit of God that sustains us. And then when we come to know Jesus, the Spirit of God regenerates us into a new person in Christ. And this is where the scripture says that we are now a new person. And then when He makes us a new person, He unites the people of God. Millions of people around the world who are now followers of Jesus Christ, He unites them together into one body with different members, with Christ as the head. And that's why, you know, as a Christian, no matter where I go today, any part of the world, I can immediately identify with that part of that church or with that body of Christ, because I'm part of that one body. And we're going to come into that part of the creed where it talks about that. And that is why the video, "The Malaysia Blessing," brought so many of us to tears. Actually, not just because of the music and all that. It brought me to tears, at least when I see the names of the churches flash before me. Different languages, tribes, and people's group. This is just only in Malaysia. Can you imagine around the world with the number of people's groups? And one day, you know, on the new earth, we're going to be gathered together. One body in Christ. And only in Christ, we can have lasting peace and be united, because it is the Spirit of God that draws all people together. You know what? Not the United Nations. UN has tried since World War II, but there are even more armed conflicts today since then. Look at this chart I'm putting up before you. The conflicts are increasing. There are 49 armed conflicts in just 2017 alone, with 69,000 people killed. I don't think there's peace. Only Christ can give us that kind of peace. Not only does the Holy Spirit give us life, regenerate us, unite the believers, He also gives gifts of intellect, skill, and artistry to equip God's people for the task. I don't have time to look into the book of Exodus, chapter 31, verses 1 to 11. You know, go there, you flip it to that page, and read for yourself the kind of skill and intellect and artistry that God equipped the people for. Now, He is the creative side of God. And hence, all creative people here, listen to me carefully, if you're a creative person here in DUMC, let me ask you, have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to help you with the design and ideas that you need? Have you ever thought of that? Because the Holy Spirit is a creative God that created, you know, the entire universe. Can you imagine how creative He is? So ask Him for creative ideas. And so that's a divine creation. Now the second thing that the Holy Spirit do is called the divine revelation. You see, no one come to the Father except what has been revealed to him or her. It is not because, you know, one day we woke up and decided that we want to seek after God. Actually, the Bible tells us that we don't, because of our sinful nature. And so it is the Holy Spirit who draws us to the Father. He convicts people of sin, of judgment, and the need for righteousness. And then He enlightens our minds and sanctifies us to be more and more Christ-like. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10 says, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. So note the word revealed. The Spirit searches all things, even the things of God. And so the Holy Spirit spoke through scriptures. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 to 17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every work. So it is the Holy Spirit, together with a human agent, begin to even, you know, write out the Word of God, which today we call it the Bible. So the Bible guards us against a counterfeit voice, because the Holy Spirit will never contradict the book He wrote. So the more we know the Bible, the more you are familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an illustration here. You know, a brother came up to me and asked, he has something in his hand and said, can you please help me with this? I received this recording called Conversations with God. I mean, it sounded really nice and good. He said, I found this recording in a bookshop and I bought it. And I've listened to the message, it sounded okay, but I'm not entirely sure. And so I decided to just take that recording, went home, and I started listening to it. I tell you what, in the first 2 minutes of the message, I called him immediately and say, brother, stay far away from this. It is actually a false teaching about God. Now, how is it that I can detect that within 2 or 3 minutes of that recording? How do I know? Tell you what, it's because I have read His Word. I read it enough. I have studied it enough. And it doesn't take you to be a genius to figure that out. But if you read it enough, you spend daily time with Him, all right, you can detect a counterfeit when you come across it. Someone once said that part of the training in detecting, in the bank, in detecting counterfeit cash bills, is to be trained, first of all, to be very, very familiar with the authentic bill. You need to feel it, you need to look at it all the time, you need to even smell it. When you know the authentic bill enough, you can spot a counterfeit far, far away. So in that sense, the Holy Spirit is active today in divine creation and divine revelation. And the third part is divine, what I call, important part is divine empowerment. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit empowered specific individuals for ministry that served God's purpose. Now, in the New Testament, I mentioned earlier, the New Covenant that we are living in right now, the Holy Spirit is now poured out on all believers. The Holy Spirit empowers the church with the office of Ephesians chapter 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds or pastors, and teachers. What are their roles? Their role is to equip the saints for the works of ministry. So it is not for them to do the work, but to equip every one of us to do the work of ministry. So there are no super Christians in the Church of Jesus Christ. They are just equippers of saints in the body of Christ with all kinds of spiritual gifts and the ability with a spiritual gift to even engage in spiritual warfare. The point is that the Holy Spirit will give you and equip you with the gifts that you need in order to fulfill what God has directed you to do for the kingdom. So church, if you ever receive, you know, in fact, all of us have already received a call from God and to serve Him. Because part of our tagline is to love God and serve people. As we do that, as we serve people, you know, one of the best things we can do as a believer in Jesus is that we can ask. We can ask His Spirit to equip us and to train us in carrying out what He has called us to do. So I pray that this is an ongoing, regular prayer that we make. Holy Spirit, help me. Give me the gift that I need to do what You have called me to do. Can you imagine going about our Christian life without the Holy Spirit? A father was telling me a story how once her young daughter was at her fifth birthday, you know, finally having her dream toy, which she knew was in the box because the father told her so. And she quickly tore off the present paper, opened the box, and let out a scream of delight. It was a toy which had buttons on it and it made noises and lots of flashing lights. And so when she opened it up, took it out, she tried pressing it and pressing the buttons. You know what? Nothing happened. And then the five-year-old started to cry. And the father went to her and find out why it wasn't working. And he saw the three dreaded words on the box. And you already guessed that, right? It says that batteries not included. You know, that's how many of us, you know, could even live life. Batteries not included. You need to include the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, we have all the power and abilities. We need to do all that God has commanded us to do. Without the Spirit, we will be exhausted from trying to do something on our own power that we can only truly do with God's power. A follower of Jesus without the power of the Spirit would be very much like a car without petrol, a cell phone without power, a coffee without caffeine, for those of us who are coffee lovers. But with the power of the Spirit, we can experience the change, we can experience the holiness in the lives that we long for. And these are things that Christ has promised us when He sends the Holy Spirit. So let me recap. The Holy Spirit is a person, the Holy Spirit is divine, and the Holy Spirit is actively at work today. And the big idea, the Holy Spirit is God's presence in us, actively and powerfully working in our lives today. So what are the implications for us? We who are followers of Christ, whom Christ has sent His Spirit. I believe there are three things. Let me quickly just go through these three things. The implication that we have in order for the Holy Spirit to have that kind of effect and impact in our lives. And these are the three things. The first is that we need to keep surrendering daily to the Spirit's control. Do you know it's a wrong prayer to pray this way? More of You, Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we are caught in saying that kind of a prayer. More of You, Holy Spirit. I know, I think you know what that means. I know what that means. But actually, it is not more of You, Holy Spirit, because Jesus has already given His all. He died on the cross, He gave His all, and He gave His all in sending, you know, the Holy Spirit to us. So it's not about, you know, God giving us more of the Holy Spirit. You know what's the key? The key is surrender. The key is that it is us yielding more to Him so that He can have more of us. So we have to stop asking for more of the Holy Spirit. We have to start praying and desiring, you know, that we can give ourselves more to Him so that He can have more of us. So it means to keep asking God for forgiveness when we have sinned. Because sin can be a hindrance in our life to God. Even right now, if there are certain areas of our lives that we have not repented, we have not lived a life of repentance, yielding to more of God, you know, then we cannot have that kind of Spirit's influence in our life, because God is, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never force Himself on anyone except by a willingness in our hearts to say, Lord, I will surrender increasingly to You. So the first thing is that we need to keep surrendering. And number two is to keep obeying. You know, we have raised our Bible and we say, you know, this Bible, it is my Bible, it is the Word of God, it informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. Now, what does that mean? It means obedience. Obedience to what we have read and heard from the voice, from the Word of God and His voice. You see, far too often, we already know too much. We need to put them into practice so that it can change the way we live our lives. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you obey. Now, maybe first in the small things in your life, then graduate to bigger things. So keep surrendering, keep obeying, and the third thing is keep in step. This is a familiar verse we have memorized in the past as well, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, don't go ahead of Him. If you remember last week's weekend sermon, I talked about not moving ahead of God. You know, always keep, you know, the presence of God next to you or in front of you, but never go ahead of Him. And don't stay too far behind Him either. So as you wake up each morning, what do you say? Good morning, Holy Spirit. Be very conscious and intentional about this. Get Him involved in your life. See, the Holy Spirit can be neglected. We need to cultivate a spirituality that has a big place for the Holy Spirit in our hearts, for Him. Ask God to make your hands, your feet, your eyes, your tongue, etc. as His instruments. See where God is working, join Him there. It's not about asking God to join us in what we want to do. Far too often, we have a tendency to plan our own things. You know, after we have planned it, then we say, God, can you come and bless these things that we have planned? You know, it is time we are guided by Him in the things that we ought to plan. Ask Him. See where God is working and partner Him there. So these three simple steps. Keep surrendering, keep obeying, and keep in step. The Holy Spirit is in the business of drawing people to Christ. Like I mentioned earlier, I was blessed to be to play a small part of the Malaysia Blessings video. The last I've checked, it has already been viewed more than 237,000 times. And that's quite an amazing impact and effect on the people around. And so many of us are in tears and awe just watching it. Especially like I mentioned earlier, I'm blessed with the names of the churches flashing in front of me, which actually represent hundreds, if not thousands of churches in Malaysia. And we are all part of this body. And I received so many stories. I can only pick a few. You know, some stories I've heard is that some who have backslided away from the church could even be bitter with the church, because someone has offended them maybe, maybe they're disillusioned, maybe, you know, someone didn't live up to the mark of being a Christian. And this person saw, a few people have saw this video, and they said in their minds, in their hearts, and they share with someone else, they have been reconciled in their own heart. As they look at the churches, you know, in this video, they're reminded that they belong to that body. And let us pray that as many of the people watch this video, they will make their way back to church. Another person shared this, you know, very honestly, that he was struggling with pornography. And while watching the video, God convicted him because he was about to give up and say, I will never overcome this. But God convicted him in his heart and aligned him back to God. Another story, you know, let me read the text of this sister who sent it. And that's what she said here in this text, where she says, yesterday night, I tuned in to watch the premiere of The Blessing Malaysia. I started having goosebumps and then weeping when the second chorus came out. I just couldn't stop my tears. I thought I was just filled by His presence and is touched by the Holy Spirit. But later on, I realized I received healing that I was not conscious of. You see, I have very high pressure in my eyes for the past few days. I felt tired and pain in my eyes, and also having headache and feeling nauseous. But I realized after I cried in the presence of the Lord, I blink my eyes without feeling anything, and no pain is gone. I have clearer eyesight and had a good night rest. And even until now, when I'm writing this, my eyes are in good condition. Isn't that amazing? That God in the privacy of a person, so even right now where you are, you may not be gathered together as a big group, you're not even in a regular church celebration, but this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is right now in your room, in your hall, you know, the Holy Spirit is not, you know, confined within a certain boundary. And that is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, so that He can be with anyone, anywhere, at any place. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the amazing thing is this, that even before you ask, He already knows. He already knows the conditions of your heart. He already knows what you need. Now, why is it then you need to pray? You see, when we pray, although the Holy Spirit knows, we are expressing a desire. And in verbalizing this desire, we pray that it will also open up our heart. That is why He wants you to pray. So that in that prayer, you will truly open up your heart to what He will want to do in your life. So where are you now in your life? You know, you can ask Him. You can ask Him right now to come into your life. You may be feeling that there is a lack of that intimacy that you have with God. Maybe it's because you have never allowed the Holy Spirit to begin work in you in an intentional way, in a really powerful way. And so I want to just ask you right now, will you, in your heart, where you are, in the privacy of your room or in the hall, to pray a simple prayer, just this prayer, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. And that's a biblical prayer, to be asking the Holy Spirit to fill you. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit to come and reside in us when we become a Christian. But it is biblical, it is command of Scripture to say, be filled. And that be filled is an ongoing verb, ongoing tense rather. And we will begin, you know, to do that every day. When we begin to do that, God will do an amazing work in your life. And some of us may not have been filled with the Spirit. So what you can do right now is to raise your hands to God. Raise up both hands right now. Whether you've been filled before or you have not, you know, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit already knows what you need. And so lift up your hand right now. Lift up your hand to God, both hands, and close your eyes. And just say that simple prayer, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Come and fill me. Don't talk about your needs yet, but just in the simple desire of your heart. Simple prayer, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Holy Spirit, You heard the prayers of many hearts today. And I pray that as You now begin to do a new work, God, in the hearts of many, even as an expression of desire of their hearts, that, Lord, they do not just want to live the mediocre Christian life, getting by every day. But today, God, from this day onward, Holy Spirit, we invite You to come and walk with us and fill us, God, that we may be empowered to do what You have called us to do. So Spirit of God, just as Your people have honored You with their prayer, will You right now, Lord, fill every person? And as you wait upon the Lord, some of you may feel something or some of you may not feel anything. But whatever it is, you know as you pray in faith, the Spirit of God will hear you. And Jesus will answer that prayer by just having the Holy Spirit come and do a deeper work in you. And some of you may even be crying right now. Some of you may even be, I've seen that before, laughing even, because there's that joy of God that will come upon you because of what's going on in your life, and you need that joy. So whatever it is, will you give that freedom to the Holy Spirit, Lord? I surrender more of myself to You, God. You know the areas of my life that is lacking the presence of God, the power of God in my life. And some of us needing a healing touch right now. As everyone else, you know, just whatever that the Spirit is inspiring you to do right now, just continue doing that. Some of you are sensing the Spirit of God just coming upon you. Just thank God for Him for that. Some of you who needs healing, because that is something that has been such a concern for you, even could be someone, a family member next to you who needs a healing touch from God. I believe there's a powerful presence of the Holy Spirit right now where you are. Will you lay your hands on that part of your body right now? Do that. Because the Spirit of God is where you are right now. And touch that part of your body, or with a family member who needs, you know, the healing touch from the Lord. You just obey the Lord and go to that person and lay hands on that person. And just pray by faith that it is the Holy Spirit who does it, not you. You are just a channel of the blessing. So I'm going to give you a few moments right now. Just allowing God to work through the Holy Spirit in our lives in a powerful way. And at every point, give thanks to Him. Give thanks to Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I want you to just keep praying. Just keep praying right now. Just allowing the Spirit of God to minister to you. He knows your need, like I said, even before you begin to pray to Him. So let Him. And I want to speak to those who are not Christians here. You know, you are not here by chance. I really believe that it is the Spirit that draws you to watch this. Somehow that is not something that you've done as a, you know, normal basis or regular basis, but something that draws you here. And I want you to know that it's the Holy Spirit of God that's drawing you. And how do you receive this Holy Spirit into your life? And I've shared this with many people, you know, and I give them a simple step to do that. I know it is not a magical formula that transforms you. It is a work of God. It's not your prayer that transforms, but a genuine desire in your heart to say, God, will you do something in my life? So I'm going to help you pray. And this prayer is just a prayer invitation. It is a decision that you're making to say, I want to open up my life to you, God. And when you open up your life to God, God sends His Holy Spirit into your life. And how do you do that? You do that by three simple statements, a desire of your heart. You say sorry, you say thank you, and you say please. Three simple words that express the desires of your heart. It's a decision you're making. Only God knows what's going on in your heart. You say sorry to God for running your own life. Maybe all the sins in your life, things that you've done wrong, you are not proud of, you are actually very ashamed of it, and you have been living in guilt for a long time. You know, God wants to release you from that guilt. And all you need to do is say sorry to Him. And not only do you say sorry, you ask the Spirit of God to help you to be an overcomer. So say sorry. And then you say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. And it's on that cross, I should have been on that cross, but you died for my sins on that cross. Thank you. Just a simple thank you to Jesus. He has done everything. And then thirdly, you say, please, please come into my life. As you have loved me, you have forgiven me, please come into my life and make me a new person. And if that's the desire of your heart, I want you to pray this prayer together with me quietly in your heart. So why don't you bow your head right now? Anyone watching this video and you say you want this God in your life, just make this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, just follow after me in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the sins in my life. You know what I have done. There's nothing hidden from you. I'm sorry for these things. Please forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that God, you have thought of me when you were on that cross. You have thought of me that someday I will be in this position of coming to you, asking you to forgive me. And so thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Please, now come into my life. Please come into my life and make me a new person. Make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have said that prayer, It's a decision that you make. And God knows the desires of your heart. And He begins what I call a journey of faith. And so if you have said that prayer, it will really help us and yourself as well if you were to click, you know, on the button that says raise hands on your screen. If you're on full screen, just come out of the full screen and go click that button that says raise hands. Because once you do that, we want to be able to connect with you. Connect with you and say, this is how you can grow in God. Maybe we can introduce you to something that will help you in your journey. So can you do that right now? Just click raise hands and there will be something that a form that you fill in. And then later on, you can connect with one of us because we are interested and really honored, you know, to have you come and join us and to be part of this body of Christ called the church. So if you can do that very quickly. And for the rest of us who still needs prayer, you know, you can go to that button again, as we have done so many weeks now, live prayer. Go click that button and someone will come along and help you through in whatever issues that you may have. And so I pray that, you know, this worship celebration has been something that has reminded you of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And not only just the power of the Holy Spirit, but the presence of the Holy Spirit every day of your life. And so let me just pray a closing prayer and then to close with a benediction as well as I bless you with the love of God. So Holy Spirit, even as we come, God, into the end of this worship celebration, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are here right now with us. And we pray too that God, as we move on in our Christian life, God, may your presence be felt more tangibly in our lives. That as we surrender more of ourselves to you, God, you will take hold of these areas and transform us, whether it's an issue of sin, of an addiction, or it is something that we are doing, God, in our workplace, our career, our businesses, or our ministry, God. Whatever that we're doing, Lord, we do not want to do this alone. By ourselves, with our own strength, but with you, the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you for that reminder. We are not left alone in our journey of faith, but we are here together with the body of Christ in the Holy Spirit, that as you unite us together, we are here for one another. And so we thank you again that you have been such a blessing, Holy Spirit, to us. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. And all God's children say, Amen. So God bless you. And if you are not in a cell group, as I mentioned a few times already, do join the cell group. So click on that live prayer and talk to somebody and say, I want to join the cell group. And they'll be more than happy to connect you with one. So God bless you and have a great day.